This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stay tuned here to Sean and RJ because we have a ticket giveaway coming up here within the Expressway. Tickets to see Seether and Daughtry. Keep an ear out. We'll be giving away those within this hour. We've also got the junk drawer coming up. But RJ Choppy, we also have Cowboys training camp coming up.
No way.
Yep.
It is
approaching rapidly in Oxnard, California.
California?
California.
That doesn't make any sense.
California doesn't?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. No, they
obviously not picking. Peyton, you picked up on the sarcasm. I guess Bobby's just, you know.
No, I understood okay, it.
I was waiting for the bad place. Bad place.
Yeah, it's a very bad, very bad place.
It's a very bad place.
Very bad people. The Cowboys will be out in Oxnard, California. They sent out a training camp schedule just the other day. The team charter will arrive in Oxnard Sunday, July 20th.
Hey.
The day of Pat Freiermuth's football camp in Pittsburgh.
Camp.
The opening press conference will be July 21st. The first practice will be July 22nd. The first padded practice will be Sunday, July 27th, which is when we get there. And then you've got the joint practice with the Rams, obviously, on August 5th. So big days coming up, but we're going to be out there covering all things for you. The KNC Masterpiece will be out there the first week. We're going to be out there the second week. We're going to have you guys covered at more time. More time for us to be out there giving you eyes out there, giving you boots on the ground, and keeping you guys updated. You're going to want to stick around for the best in training camp coverage right here on 105 Through the Fan. And obviously the big focus of Cowboys training camp is going to be, can the Cowboys have success with Brian Schottenheimer? Can they achieve a new level? Can they unlock a new level that they didn't get with Mike McCarthy? Can they win the NFC East and prevent Philadelphia from becoming the first back-to-back champion since the 03-04 season? That was the last time it happened. Where were you in 2004, RJ Choppy? Where were you at in life? You would have been, what, 25 years old?
I was turning 25 in 04. I was at ESPN 103. And I was probably just getting off overnights.
Damn.
I was probably going from the overnight shift to doing 6 to midnight on the board. Doing Mav games. And
you made it.
Yeah, and then like a year later, I was doing Mavs Network.
You were the big dog by that point. Peyton Russell was what, 7 probably?
Sounds about
something like that.
Before September, it would have been 7.
Yeah, so this obviously has been a long-standing tradition. Everybody at this point has fallen back on nobody wins back-to-back titles in the NFC East. It's just something that happens. And so people have just kind of defaulted to that, whether if it makes sense or not. So we'll see if this is what the NFC East is shaping up to look like, according to ESPN. They did an NFC East roundtable with their beat writers for each team. So Tim McManus for the Eagles. It was John Keim for the Commanders. Todd Archer, obviously, for the Dallas Cowboys. And then for the Giants, it was Jordan Renan. And they were asked all these different roundtable questions. And I wanted to kick some of them around here with you guys. All right. And also on the Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text. And also read some of the thoughts here from the beat writers. The number one question, and I'll let you answer this one. We'll answer these first, and then we'll give the analysis from the writers. Specific to the Cowboys, Chop, what is on the line for your quarterback this season? And I'll let you think about that. While you think about that, I'm going to just share kind of my thoughts about it real fast. I think Dak has gotten to a point where a lot of people say, man, there's so much pressure on him. At various times, I thought, no, there's not. He's already gotten his deal. He doesn't have to do this or that. I think this is a lot of pressure on him starting now for the next couple years because we have not seen the quarterback market jump above him yet the way it had been. So that's a little bit of like, you've been sitting at the top of the market for a little while. There are questions about his injury history and how sustainable his health is. He's thought to be a big driver for the Brian Schottenheimer hire. And so any sort of good or bad that comes with that is going to be tied to Dak. not only just because of his play on the field, but because of his testimony. So I think we're reaching a point right now where there's as much pressure as has ever been on Dak. And I think he welcomes it, and I still think he's going to answer the call, obviously, because I still believe in him as a player. But I think this is as much pressure as he's had.
So I mentioned I was on my guy Tom Byrne last night.
Well.
Mad Dog Radio.
Dick's brother, yeah.
And he is a big Eagles guy, right? He's a Philly guy. He thinks the Cowboys are sneaky contenders.
In the NFC or in the division?
In the NFC.
Interesting.
Nobody's talked about it. They got like no pressure on them. Nobody's they could be one of those teams that come out of nowhere. I honestly think that what is on the line for Dak, for the first time, I could say nothing. We all think he is a broken down man that's overpaid that will never win.
Well, speak for yourself.
And at some point, you just come at peace with that. And it just it takes a load off your shoulders. The assumption is that Dak is going to go in there and miss four games this year. That his coach is over his head. That the team is not as good. No one is picking them to win. Most people are not picking them to make the playoffs. I honestly think for the first time, it's nothing. All the attention is going to be on Coach Schottenheimer.
Wow, we're completely diametrically opposed on this one, which is good.
I think all the pressure's on Shotty.
But you don't think he's naturally tied to that pressure, Dak is?
I don't think nationally people have any idea whether Dak had any influence on the hire.
Okay, I'll say this. If we're talking about his job being on the line or his legacy or whatever else, probably not. That's not up there.
So Dak's legacy is... His legacy is what it is.
I'm just saying for Dak,
yeah.
Personally, not from outside analysis, I think for Dak, this is as much pressure as has been on him. Because this is as much his vision.
I think last year was the most pressure because he had just signed the deal. He waited to the 18th hour tonight, you know, or whatever the hell the phrase is, 11th hour to sign it. And it was a prove it year for the head coach, essentially. I think that there's as little pressure on Dak as there possibly if you could be. Because we just kind of forgotten about it. We haven't talked about it. We spent all offseason talking about Shotty.
Yes. But I think we also talked about they're tied together, whether it be the performance or because of the endorsement. Mm-hmm. I like the take. I understand your take. And so I think that there's arguments to be made on both sides here. This is what Todd Archer said. He said, let's start with the obvious. Dak Prescott's job is not on the line. The Cowboys signed him to an extension through 2028 in September that made him the highest paid quarterback in the game. There is not an escape until maybe after the 27 season. But the contract will be something Prescott will have to measure up to in 2025. He turns 32 in July. In the past five seasons, he has missed time with ankle, thumb, calf, and hamstring injuries. The Cowboys have selected an offensive lineman in the first round of the past two drafts. This year, they added George Pickens in a trade. CeeDee Lamb is in his prime, and they hope to see big improvement out of their run game to help Prescott. He is entering his 10th year as the Cowboys starter. If he doesn't make a deep playoff run soon, when will it happen? But to your point, you say, yeah, all that may be true, but the expectations are not the same as they would have been 5 years ago.
I think
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is as low of expectations as we've had on a Cowboys team in a long time.
All right, so they are doing a NFC East roundtable over at ESPN. We're kicking around some of the questions and answers they get over there, and we're getting your answers on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, 682. Chop is dead wrong right now. All the pressure's on Dak now. 870, agree 100% with RJ. He's correct. No one expects anything different from Dak. So these are the kind of questions that I think are going to be facing us all year in terms of how things are different.
They are.
Next question here on the roundtable was, what has been the most underrated move by your team? So obviously everybody would jump to George Pickens as being the big acquisition. You've got a lot that you're expecting out of Tyler Booker right away.
I think Booker is look, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be Zach Martin week one, that the same Zach Martin that he was in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to be like, dude, this is a, without question, this is going to be one of the five best overall picks of the draft.
So an underrated move for the Cowboys, was there anything, because obviously they brought in Kenneth Murray and Kyer Elam through trades. They brought in two new running backs, Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. They had other draft picks, Donovan Azeraku, Savone mm-hmm. Ravel. They had they brought back Dante Fowler on a relatively decent deal. So is there an underrated move that stands out to you for the Cowboys? Or any of these that you look at and go like, I like the upside potential here.
Well, I think their second and third round draft picks were a deviation from their norm.
Yeah, it wasn't the typical blue star. The third rounder kind of was, because he's obviously coming off an ACL. But yeah, they just got really good value is what it looked like.
And I think that they've got guys that are, Azeraku's probably a plug and play guy.
Yeah, Azeraku, if you want to just talk about him being a situational pass rusher, now, really, really good. Really good immediately. Like I said, if he's minimum six sacks to me this year. I think the one that stands out to me is, and it's obviously after I've gotten eyes on him out at OTAs, and we still got to see the pads come on, but Miles Sanders looks fresher than I expected. And if Miles Sanders can come in here and give you extra juice in the running game, and you've got the offensive line blocking things up better, I mean, he could have a bounce back year. I kind of wonder if it's like we talk about with certain organizations where we're like, yeah, but everybody screws that player up. Like Carolina is everybody screws that up. And so I kind of wonder just like, all right, is that just a bad representation of where he's at? This is what Todd Archer wrote about the underrated move. He said, unlike 2024, the Cowboys actually made a lot of moves. They traded for Pickens, Kenneth Murray, Kyer Elam. They made some smart signings in free agency, which is where I'm heading, because trading for Pickens isn't underrated. It's smart, but not underrated. Bringing back Dante Fowler in free agency is an underrated move. They needed a pass rusher opposite Parsons. While he plays a different game than DeMarcus Lawrence, opposing offenses will have to know where he is too. He had 10.5 sacks last season for Washington and didn't have someone like Parsons on the other side. That is wild to think about. Think about any other offseason. Wouldn't we have just been glowing? And I understand it's perspective, but wouldn't we have been glowing about you just signed a guy who had double-digit sacks last year?
We'd be glowing about that.
And I mean, we just don't think of Fowler that way, partially because he had already been here and hadn't performed that way, but it's also he was a situational guy. He played a little more in Washington and still was collecting sacks at about the same rate he was here in Dallas. It's just he got more of an opportunity. All right, this is the NFC East Roundtable over to ESPN. Next question here was, what is the biggest concern for your team? Chop, when you look at the Cowboys roster right now, I mean, you just mentioned there's a lot of pressure on Schottenheimer. We've obviously talked about the run game, some of the stuff with the corners. When you look at the Cowboys right now, what do you say is that is the biggest concern for Dallas right now as we're entering Oxnard?
The health of the quarterback. At the end of the day, that's the reality of it. If Dak's healthy, they're going to win 10 games. And if he's not, they're going to miss the playoffs.
If he's healthy for how many games? They're
going to the whole year, 17.
So he's got to be 17 for
you. If he's healthy for, let's just say, 60. Give him one
game. Sure, right? Yeah, but roughly.
If he's healthy for basically what you would consider a full year, they're gonna win about 10 games like they always do. Short of health, because I think that's the easy cop-out answer, I think it's is the coach over his head?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he is. I don't think you can have Marty as your dad and be completely over your head as a football coach. But, I mean, nobody outside the Schottenheimer family would be sitting here. I don't think a lot of people were fist pumping the hire when it happened.
No.
So, you know, it's a question. Like, nobody knows how good of a coach they're going to be until they do it. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how good of a quarterback they're going to be until they do it. Nobody knows how good of a radio host you're going to be until you do it. So, like, I think that's, at the end of the day, that's the biggest question.
I will say that, yeah, that's, you're right on that front. The thing I've said all along, to me, Schottenheimer is, the comparison I made is, he's the guy who's been running for president his whole life. Like, everything he's done throughout his life.
Folks.
Everything he's done throughout his life has been, like, preparation for the job. Whether he'll be good at it or not, we don't know, but I don't think he's going to be incompetent like a lot of people were worried when he first got hired. It's like, no, you, I think baseline is he is the floor to me with him is he's Jason Garrett. 8-8 competitive, like they pop a few years. Like that to me is the floor for what Brian Schottenheimer can be as a coach, which is just competent and keeping guys competitive. And that's not the worst thing to have.
No.
Except for, like you said before, you don't necessarily want to be stuck in purgatory.
No, but I don't know. Yeah, like, you know, how different is he than Marty?
I think he's different.
Like, was Marty a personality guy? Was Marty, you know, like Shoddy's really, like, a fun dude. Like, he's a fun, like, you know, was Marty no nonsense? Was Marty
a fun guy?
Huh?
I'm a fun guy.
Yeah. Was Marty just, like, was he an X's and O's genius? You know, what was he?
Yeah, I think Marty was culture and leadership and grit and schematically was a big believer in blue collar run the football. I mean, it was called Marty Ball for a reason. I think Brian's more, I guess, aggressive in the passing game. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely the case. And I think that some of the things that he believes in are specifically in the passing game and formations and the way you attack defenses is different from Marty. But also very dynamic, still has all the leadership stuff, but still very dynamic as well. 2-1 run game all day long as the biggest weakness.
Right, I mean, that's a question.
The biggest concern to me right now is it's the corners. I don't know what they're going to be. I just have no idea. I don't know where. I have no idea where Bland is going to play, if he's going to play the nickel or outside. I have no idea if Kalen Carson's going to bounce back after they were really high on him in camp last year, and then he was terrible when he got on the field. I have no idea what Diggs is going to be when he comes back from his injury. Is Kyrie Elam going to connect? Like, there's all these different things that I just have no clue about the secondary.
From the 2-4, Jason Garrett wasn't competent. From the 2-4, are you telling me that Shaw
completely disagree on that statement?
Jason
Garrett was not. He was not a difference maker. He was not incompetent. Incompetent to me is Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is incompetent.
Right. Jason was not incompetent. Jason may not have had. He may not have been a great, like, schematic advantage.
Right.
For you, there was nothing wrong with Jason, the walk-around coach.
No. And like, your organization was not going to be in disarray with Jason running thing operations.
No. He had a really good way of making sure that everybody stays on course.
Yeah, don't mistake competence for tactical advantage. He was not that. He was not a tactical advantage for them, but he was competent. He would get them prepared and get effort out of them, and they weren't neglecting things. They were getting the fundamentals down. That's what competence is.
Let's see. So I have no idea what this O-line is going to look like either. Run game all day long. Booker will make it. The general is 100% dead on. Booker will make it or break it for Dak. I don't know.
Dawson has been jumping on that take. No. That okay.
He's copying my take. That's fine.
Yeah. He thinks that Booker is the
Dallas doesn't care about the Cowboys anymore. It's flag time now. Oh, baby.
Ooh.
How about the game where Jason watched his buddy give up?
He's talking about Chaz Green.
Oh, give up 6 sacks and did nothing. Okay, so here's my take on that. What was he going to do?
Well, I mean, there's also.
He's already on the backup. We put the third string in.
It was at that time. I mean, obviously the head coach can overrule and do different things like that. But yeah, they were in the middle of spiraling. The guy that they did put out there ended up giving up 2 more. And was getting worked just as bad. It was not good. And Scott Linehan was the one ultimately responsible for protections and doing different things like that. And Dak a lot of times could have checked into something that he didn't.
Yeah, sacks are a quarterback stat.
Now, Garrett is still involved in that decision, yep. No doubt about it. But if you're going to say in 10 years, you remember that one game in Atlanta when they were 500? Okay, well, that kind of proves my point that he's competent.
That's pretty competent. Okay,
stuff. This is what Todd Archer says. He said, first-time head coach isn't the biggest concern. A quarterback who has had a difficult time staying healthy recently isn't the biggest concern. Impending contracts for guys like Parsons aren't the biggest concern. I'm sticking on the field for mine. Can they slow down the run? They have not made big adjustments in personnel, in name, or size. How new coordinator Matt Eberflus will attack the issue is with effort and running to the ball. It will also help if the offense can put up a ton of points. And then really quickly, they had each rider pick who's going to win the NFC East. McManus says Eagles. John Keim, Eagles. Todd Archer, Eagles. Jordan Renan, the Dallas Cowboys. He says that the Cowboys are going to win it. He says he thinks everyone's down on the Cowboys. Kind of what you were saying. They're laying in the cut. They're ready.
Did you drop it in the cut reference?
They did. They're laying in the cut. And that's what Jordan Renan thinks. He thinks they're going to have a big year and that they win it. But ultimately, The consensus here is that Philly's going to break that streak of no back-to-back NFC East champions.
Wow, good stuff.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.